Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes, I'm too turned up.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 803 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3. So much to talk about.
Did you see the ass-kicking last night? The Saints beat the living hell out of Tampa and really made a statement in that division. Really made a statement. Drew Brees looked like the guy who was, I mean, and Tom Brady looked terrible.
Terrible.
No touchdowns, three interceptions. He looked absolutely terrible. And
was
he's not handling pressure. You know, it used to be, well, you try to blitz Tom Brady. Yeah. Tom Brady is not handling pressure well at all right now. It's like he just is not processing it quickly or something. So, what a statement by the Saints. And with that, we bring in LSU Brian. What's going on, Brian?
Yeah, guys, I was waiting for y'all to talk about the game. So that's why I called in. But, man, so before this matchup, the Bucs were, you know, the new pretty sexy pick, you know, especially on the NFC side. And, I want y'all's opinion. Was it more of, Lance, like you were just saying, is it Brady with the pressure and they're just off their game, or was it more of the Saints? Because, I think with Davenport now back for a few games, getting some pressure, you ain't got Cam Jordan on the other side getting so much double team and everything, man. This defense is coming along.
The Saints are a problem right now because you get Sanders back, you get Mike Thomas back, and then now you got Onyemata. You have Onyemata, you have Hendrickson, who's rushing the quarterback real well. Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport back. Like, man, they got a front now defensively. They got their weapons back. Kamara has been playing good football. I tell you what, the Tampa stuff may have been a little premature. Because one thing we're seeing is this is why quarterbacks need to have mobility nowadays. You look at Tom Brady. Unless you're getting the ball out quickly, he had no chance yesterday. He just had no chance when he was assaulted in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing he could do. Those statues, man, those statues are a dying breed. They are a dying breed.
Yeah. He's got his 6 titles, and he's the GOAT.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no question.
I mean, he's 40-some years old, too.
I mean, it just seems like he's never old.
Right. No, he's old.
I mean, just the week before, he had a big game.
No, this week was like hail to Tom Brady week. It's mm-hmm. all. It's over. It's Brady and not Belichick. The Bucs are awesome, are unbelievable. The Bucs are the favorite in the NFC now. Tom Brady changes everything for everybody. He makes everybody around him better, and then they get their ass handed.
Well, the Saints have kicked their ass twice this year.
Yeah, twice now.
So that's
the Saints got the recipe.
Yeah, whatever that might be.
And I think they're going to have to face him in the postseason if they advance.
It's getting interesting in the West because you've got, you know, that was a big loss for the Cardinals. That was a big loss for the Cardinals. But, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae, it's. You just don't know if they have enough defense. That's another team. When you get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, that's a whole different, you know, he just is not the same guy. He's more mobile than the other guys. He just hasn't played the same. But, man, you look at Seattle. Russell can do everything he can possibly do to bring a team back, but their defense just sucks. Their secondary sucks right now. They are just in a lot of trouble defensively. They're one of the worst defenses in the league. And so, can you win with that kind of defense? Like, I feel more comfortable. I think the Saints might be Maybe the Saints are the favorite. When they're fully healthy, the Saints are the
favorite. Well, yeah, the Seahawks defense blows. Just blows. The Bills are a problem.
I'm talking about the NFC.
Seattle. Green Bay's defense.
I just don't think the NFC.
Do they have enough weapons?
No. NFC East, you don't worry about. NFC East is a dead division. What about the Vikings now?
I think the Vikings are a problem.
Vikings are a team we got to start keeping an eye on?
How about,
I don't think they're good enough defensively either. But
well, and they've got the Bears this week, and this is where you're going to find out. I'm going to tell you what, the Vikings are a better team than the Bears right now.
That's the best running back in the league.
Right? Oh, I don't think it's even close.
I don't think it's close. No. Watching him, he is just special, Dalvin Cook. It's just always been about staying healthy. He always had tremendous talent.
It'll be interesting to see. The Bears falling apart. And I thought a pretty good, I don't know who it was on, this morning with Key and those guys. And he said, well, Matt Nagy was supposed to come in. And Matt Nagy comes in and he's playing Andy Reid's offense when he doesn't have Pat Mahomes. You know what? With Trubisky, you had to use his legs. You had to do all kinds of, you had to change things. You can't. I mean, you got the same offense for Trubisky that you had for Mahomes, that you have for Nick Foles. I mean, this is not – you got to play to your player's strengths. And this is where Matt Nagy is failing drastically. And, oh, by the way, he's right. He's absolutely right. You can't expect Mitch Trubisky to be doing those same – he's just not that guy. He's just not that guy. So it's the Bears defense – tremendous. The Bears offense, just a mess. Just a total mess.
Yeah, they just don't have enough. They don't have enough. I mean, everything you look around, the quarterbacks aren't enough. The wide receivers aren't enough. Allen Robinson, you know, he's a nice number two.
No, he's
David Montgomery is a nice second running back. Like everything they have is a good second this, a good second that, they don't have primary killers on offense. They just don't. There's nothing explosive about them. Their quarterbacks don't play all that well. But you'd rather have one side good because then you can throw money and draft picks at the other side and you can fix it. That's why if the Texans could get their offense going, if their offensive line could play better consistently, right now they need to find a running back for the future, but that's not that hard. I think they can find a quality running back, and they have to spend all their money and draft picks on defense this year. I don't think they can probably throw one at a pick at a wide receiver, I guess. Maybe at a running back, but for the most part, I think, you know, frankly, they need a guard too, but I think they might spend a little bit of money on a free agent on the offensive side, but everything else is going to be defense. You have to. I can't watch that anymore on defense. That's just not good enough. By the way, J.J. Watt with his 100th sack yesterday.
Yep. 100th sack. I did not see this story. Did you guys see this story that it's for sure that JJ is for sure getting traded at the end of the season?
No. What story says that?
I don't know. That came from John. John said, did y'all see the report? JJ is for sure getting traded at the end of the season.
No.
Did you see this, Dell? You saw it?
I saw it.
Oh, here it is. A virtual certainty. Is this from La Canfora? Yep, it's from LockInfora.
Oh.
Well, the Texans opted to not deal J.J. Watt at the trade deadline. Numerous team and league sources believe it's a virtual certainty he's gone next season, with the veteran adamant about finishing with the contender. Well, this is what I thought could happen. I brought it up to you. Like, you can still trade J.J. Watt in the offseason before the draft where you know where draft picks are. So I could still see that. That's fine, too. As long as he gets moved for a draft pick, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
This is not even about J.J. Watt. This is... we need picks.
It's a virtual certainty that JJ is getting traded. But wouldn't you have gotten more for him now, a team that needs help this season?
A lot of times before the draft, when people know their draft standing, they may. But I don't know. It's a wrap, said one source with knowledge. He knows he only has so many games left, and he's ready to go and try to win. The guys in that locker room are bracing for it. Well, JJ doesn't make that pick, but he said another source with knowledge said at the end of the day, Cal respects JJ too much to hold him back. I think everyone in their hearts already knows he is going to be moving on. He's done everything they could have ever asked for. You know what? Frankly, if this means a real GM makes the deal instead of Easterby, that I'm cool with that. That's fine. you know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Several general managers who explored significant trade talks with the Texans came away convinced that a trade is inevitable. Cal McNair had been hopeful of keeping the star around, but the team badly needs draft capital, lacking a first and second rounder. Watt would prefer to go somewhere, and hiring a new coach and GM is unlikely to change that. He'll be traded by March. Bank it, said one NFL general manager.
Mm-hmm. Bill O'Brien made too many mistakes, the next guy, to be able to fix them all. That's not happening. That process will take years, and the first step is getting what you can for older players who are making real money.
So this is it. That's a hard trade to make in the middle of the season. There are going to be too many questions about the medicals, which is true. That's probably the hardest thing is JJ has a lot of medical. Before you make anything, you're going to have to check him on the medicals, the shoulder, the knee, the groin, all that stuff.
Elbow.
He said Jack Easterby can't make that trade in November, and the owner probably wasn't quite ready to make it, but it's coming.
Well,
that's fine.
I'm kind of glad that Jack Easterby wasn't making that trade anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's
although I give him credit, they held firm on Will Fuller.
Watt told confidants for weeks that this was coming to a head, and it seems quite unlikely his desire to play elsewhere is going to subside. And as averse as the Texans have been to dealing core veteran players, other GMs anticipate that whoever takes over the position in Houston will end up moving at least 4 to 6 players to try to reposition for the draft, with Whitney Mercilus, Bradley Roby, Zach Cunningham, Bernardrick McKinney, and Brandon Cooks, the names most frequently mentioned. Jeez. I mean, you still have to fill a roster. These are guys who are all starters for you. You still have to spend. You know how bad this team is going to be next year? Good criminy. If you were to trade both linebackers, my goodness. You'll take a cap hit by dealing Zach Cunningham that early. I could see Brandon Cooks being traded, but for what? A third? Like, you have to still have people to fill out a roster. You don't have enough draft picks to fill out a roster.
No, well, you got to get rid of debt. You got to get rid of to all the fat. I mean, if you could possibly, I don't care what you could get for whatever you could get for Randall Cobb, you get.
Like John said, that process will take years. And the first step of getting what you can for older players who are making real money. Another GM is saying that process in Houston is going to take years. This is how one guy who has no business being a GM, one guy who doesn't know what he's doing, can do that much damage in a year and a half. Really, in a year. He did that much damage in 1 year. Starting with the Tunsil deal and moving forward, look at the damage Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby did. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job to do that.
Yeah,
it was your way.
No,
was
it absolutely
yours. Was. Stop playing that, Dell.
8:15.
It kind of makes me mad in real life.
That's a little jab.
It's not my job to do that.
That's a little jab at Bill O'Brien, I think, though.
Site jab. If you want to build your website up, you can take the, I'm calling it the easy road by going through one of these websites that allows you to, we'll help you build your own with this template. The problem is the templates, that was fine for 2006. 2007, maybe. It's really changed. You have to have a really bold site, one that stands out, one that has all the bells and whistles, one that has a smooth user interface, because users are used to interacting with websites a certain way. So you've got to have a web design that allows you to get the person who's checking your website out, get the information they need quickly. Give them an idea about who you are and the work that you do. And then, for some people, even having e-commerce on the site so that you have a chance to get that direct point of sale right there through the website. Converting those eyes into leads is what SiteJab can help you do. They can build a brand new site for you from scratch in 3 to 6 weeks. They can do it that quickly. And they've been in business here in Houston for 2 decades. You don't stay in business that long in that business without being really, really good. And don't worry, they also take care of marketing. They have branding capabilities. Check their website out for all of all the work that they're able to do for your company. SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life.
They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right Box of Awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
818 ESPN 97.5. Dell, how about this game tonight? Jets, Patriots. Who you got?
Ooh. I mean, I just got to be honest. It's going to be a streaming type of
night. I don't think I'm can watch
watching.
It.
I'm not watching that.
I'm going to watch a movie or something.
I mean, I've watched enough football, good football. Yeah. I don't want to cap it with that. I'm not watching that.
All right, let's take a look. Okay, how about the...
My wife's texting me. You guys never finished. Who is your number two young quarterback? So I guess she's listening today. Shout out to my wife.
Well, that's because you're healthy. She can actually listen to you again.
She's like, I'm not touching you until you get a second negative test. I'm like,
he didn't even say anything about that. Why
do you need to know this stuff?
Well, I thought that's what we were talking about.
No, he said a radio show.
Huh?
He said you're healthy so you can listen to the show.
You don't even say that to, like, with the mics off. Okay.
Yeah, what's the matter with you?
With the mics on?
I'm not touching you until you get what? Who cares? Why
do I care?
We don't need to know about your touching.
Why tell us? Why are you telling us your wife put you on put you on lockdown?
Yeah. She did. Well, I get it, but I had a negative test. I need a second negative.
What? Mm. No one wants to hear about you getting touched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no.
I just mean like a hug and a kiss.
No, you didn't.
No, yeah.
That's all I meant.
No,
that's
you didn't. All.
Well, if you're that's not even getting that, then guess what?
The kids are screaming at me. Matt, get! Shut up. Y'all sound like a march, like a rally. One kid was screaming, count the vote. Another one screaming, stop the count.
Well, you got two different sides of your family.
Stop, kids. By the way, my kids have decided that Splits is a trumper.
They decided your dog is a trumper?
My daughter's like, and him Snack's like, yeah, he's definitely a trumper. He's a dog. What are y'all talking about?
What?
He voted for Jill Stein in 16.
Because she was an agitator.
He's only a year and a half old.
She took votes away.
He couldn't have voted. All right. What about the Steelers? This is the 8-0 team. Could they have looked crappier against crappy team?
I mean, I give Ben a lot of credit. Ben went into the locker room, and boy, Mason was just so good. But Ben went in the locker room with a knee that looked pretty bad, and he came out. There's going to be some issues with that knee, but he came out and played in the second half, brought them back. Garrett Gilbert did a nice job. Yeah, he did a pretty nice job. He did okay. Better than Ben DiNucci.
Way better.
Than Ben DiNucci.
No, he actually had them. He was throwing some nice balls.
Yeah, I mean, he did okay. He did okay. But the Steelers right now, what a let-up game. Cowboys got their cover. They were getting 15 at home. That's the perfect spot. A four-string quarterback, you're getting 15. And, of course, the Steelers have to come from behind to win. That's one of those games where the Steelers were just like, let's just get this over with. And they played like it. They didn't play like a team. You know, I give Dallas credit. Dallas showed up and played pretty good football. They don't have enough. But I just don't know that I'm buying the Steelers are the only undefeated team.
Yep.
Does anyone ever call them the best team in football?
That argument has been.
You can't say that about Seattle. Their defense is just
in
well,
the
bad.
Way that Kansas City looked again
Kansas
this week.
City has lost at home to Las Vegas. They almost got clipped at home by the
Panthers.
By the Panthers. I mean, I don't know that you can make a definitive statement about anybody in the NFL right now. The Steelers beat the Ravens. The Ravens
Seahawks
can't say
have their issues. The Packers have their issues.
Here they are. The Steelers are 8-0.
The Bills lost a couple in a row and didn't look good doing it. The Titans lost a couple in a row and didn't look good doing it. I mean, I guess it's still, man.
How many losses do the Saints have?
The Saints are 6-2.
I mean, the recency of their win against Tampa makes the Saints look good. If the Saints played the Steelers.
They lost to the Packers and they lost to the Raiders.
If the Saints did.
Yeah.
Man, the Raiders have some W's.
I mean, they did.
The Raiders have some W's on their. The Raiders have beaten the Saints and they beat the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not to be trifled with right now. Another team that had a bunch of first-round picks.
Now, the Chargers deserve to lose when you're throwing two fades with 4 seconds left in the game. Can't you run a play instead of that fade? And especially to a Donald Parham who is...
Well, because he's a giant.
He's a giant, I get it, but you're putting that on him?
He's an XFL guy.
He's an XFL guy that just got... I mean...
By the way, shout out to the Dallas Cowboys who played Savion Smith. You may remember him.
No.
A guy who couldn't even play for the Roughnecks.
He couldn't get on the field. I saw him. He was talking to June Jones.
He was pissed yesterday for the touchdown by the Steelers. They're like, oh, Savion Smith. Savion Smith? He couldn't play for the Roughnecks.
He didn't start. He did not start. He got on the field some, but he couldn't start.
That's the kid who blew out his knee in the title.
Yes.
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 Against Clemson.
Yeah. For Alabama.
Yeah.
So he's got some talent. It's just.
Maybe that played into.
But if you don't start for the Roughnecks, do you think you should be on the field for the Cowboys?
I don't feel like that's...
Garrett Gilbert's on the field for the Cowboys. Why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, I mean, maybe for the Cowboys. But, yeah, I guess that's true.
I guess.
Truth be told, if I'm not being totally ugly just to the Cowboys, the Texans could use some...
Savion Smith.
Some Savion Smith in their life, I guess.
Philip Gaines, catch a ball.
How about the first play is a bust in the secondary?
Wait a minute. But Vernon Hargreaves... Dude, on the touchdown, the first touchdown, Vernon Hargreaves looks like he can't. It's like he's got a leg injury.
He thought Lonnie had the coverage. Lonnie thought there's a bust. That's secondary.
No,
Why couldn't we have Joe Hayden?
What about his interception? It looked like he was walking.
If I remember right, Hargreaves was like a 4.5 40. I know Hayden was. Maybe Hargreaves wasn't, but. This is seriously a disaster. Even the talk of trading Bradley Roby, my God, you can't trade Bradley
Roby. What the
hell
did he do? Why did he not make the trip?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't hear either. No, well, that's behind the scenes.
You can't trade.
That was a coach's decision, did not make trip.
That's always a good sign.
It was not illness.
That's always a good sign.
Nice job. The best corner you have, and he's screwing up, and he can't even make the trip. Nice job, Bradley.
If you're Bradley Roby, do you really want to spend a weekend in Jacksonville?
No, I mean, if you're going
to
lose.
Well, no, but still, I mean, you'd like to get that. Does he get his check?
Depends on what he did.
I don't know.
Has to.
I don't know.
Not
if the team.
You didn't deact. I mean, you didn't. He was. You still get a paycheck even if you're inactive.
What if he did something that was.
Well, you'll be fine. Team's decision means he either missed something, he broke protocol. Something like that.
Something.
Bradley wasn't on the COVID protocol, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It had nothing to do with that. They said before the game, that was a coach's decision. Bradley Roby did not make the trip. So we'll find. Well, I don't know if we'll ever find.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We talked about this a little bit. It's really no joke. You got a head coach now in Romeo who, this is his last hurrah as a coach, more than likely. He's just going to go out. He's like, I ain't letting players punk me. No, I will bench you. I will bench you. Mm-hmm. I am doing this. I'm going to play this guy. He doesn't have to do anything. Nobody is the boss of Romeo Crennel.
No, Romeo just goes, you ain't playing.
He didn't have to play nice with certain players. Like, so what? If I lose out, who cares?
Right.
Well, I don't care. I like Chris Greer anyway. He's a good friend of mine. Me and Brian Flores, maybe he likes.
You think he's a mole?
Maybe he's a Brian Flores guy. Like, hey, if we lose out, whatever.
Who isn't a Brian Flores
draft pick?
Guy?
Go to Brian Flores. Yeah.
Screw Brian Flores.
What?
Screw him.
What?
Yeah.
Why
do
you dislike Brian Flores?
Because the Dolphins have him and we don't.
Well, that's the decision you made.
No, that was a decision that Cal made. Nice job, Cal.
Well, I mean, Brian Flores was simply a guy rising up the ranks when you hired Bill O'Brien. You know, that's can't blame the Texans for that.
No.
Right?
Can you imagine? Is there one guy that has ruined an organization more than Bill O'Brien ruined this organization? I mean, honestly, can we think of one guy? By the way, speaking of ruining organizations, Jeff Luhnow suing the Astros and Major League Baseball.
Let's talk about this when we get back because this is actually kind of a big deal.
It is kind of a big deal. Time to talk about Linville plastic surgery.
Your hair is a big deal. What's happened since I've been gone? It's almost down to the floor.
Well, look it.
What are you, Crystal Gale?
Me and Fred. Okay? Me and Fred.
Always you and Fred, yes.
Yeah. It's because me and Fred got long, lowing flocks. You're jealous.
Long, lowing flocks? What you just said?
Flowing locks. Well, look at this. Look, see how it's coming together, Del, real nicely?
I don't really
see. You know what? And it's really embarrassing that you've never really complimented me on my hair.
Because I don't really look at you.
Well, but here's the thing, is most people are, and they're saying, that's unbelievable what the doc did for you. And so he can do it for you, too. If you want to feel, you know, hairier in your life, well, I'm sure you do. You want to feel hairier. I mean, who wants to go through life like looking like Jackie or something?
Well, that has nothing to do with his hair. Who just wants to look like Jackie?
Yeah, right. But here's the deal is if you want long flowing locks, if you want your hair to look so much better, if you are mangy like I was, if you just have a bald spot, or if you're balding, if you're receding, whatever the case may be, Doc Linville can help you. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Houston is all systems go!
We love our house. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Woo!
Well, Jeff Luhnow is suing Jim Crane and Major League Baseball. Apparently, he feels like he was the scapegoat, and he's got some. It alleges that Astros owner Jim Crane and Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred negotiated the penalties the team would face and enabled Luhnow to be painted as a scapegoat. MLB suspended Luhnow and former Houston manager A.J. Hinch. Luhnow says he had no knowledge of the Astros' illegal sign stealing system, nor did he play any role in it. Claims that his actions did not satisfy just cause for his eventual dismissal. Manfred said that Luhnow denied knowing about the cheating scheme, but was suspended because a person in his position should be aware of the activities of his staff. The commissioner vetted potential penalties with Crane, and the two exchanged a series of proposals. Those negotiations proved beneficial to Crane and the Astros. The commissioner allowed the Astros to keep their 2017 World Series title, imposed a $5 million fine, a fraction of the revenues Crane had reaped as part of the team's recent success, and took away four draft picks. He also issued a blanket vindication of Crane, absolving him of any responsibility for failing to supervise his club. Moreover, Crane and the Astros were assured of fielding a contending team in 2020. The team advanced the American League Championship Series because the commissioner did not suspend or penalize any of the players who were directly involved in the scandal. So he said, I ain't taking this fall, bro. I kind of believe that Jeff Luhnow, he might have a case. He might have
a
case.
You know he had to get salty AF as soon as Alex Cora was hired. Like, because I know Astros fans were. Mm-hmm.
And he's being lauded.
Hey, it's different for Alex Cora. See, that Dell told me, Anthony Mitrione or whatever. The hypocrisy is you really almost have to just let it go. Because it's just too much. If you think about how bad all of the hypocrisy is from people. No, it's different with Alex. Alex Cora was literally one of the ringleaders. Mm-hmm. More than A.J. Hinch. This idea, and good for A.J. getting hired too. But this idea that that they're different, that people treat them differently. Man, no, but he said he was sorry privately. So Alex Cora was privately telling people he was very sorry about this. What? This is the dumbest thing of all time. I mean, congratulations for Alex getting rehired. I wish Leno and AJ were both with the Astros right now. I really do. But I get why Jim Crane let him go. But I'm kind of with you, John. Unless the burden of proof is going to be on the Astros, I feel like, even though he's suing, show me what I did wrong. Like,
right. Well,
here's the $22 million you owe me. Show me where I was at cause that I knew about this.
And he says, I have proof that I did not. I mean, it is pretty flimsy. I'm telling you, the evidence that they have against Jeff Luhnow, it is pretty flimsy when it's in a 1,500 word email and there's some reference to it, to the dark aspects of whatever. Remember the dark, whatever they called it, the dark magic or whatever they were calling it. And Jeff Luhnow's like, well, I've got proof that I opened up that email for about 10 seconds. I couldn't have possibly read all of that. So, let's go. Let's go. This is the proof that you have against me, and I should have known. Well, what about the owner should have known? Why is the owner is absolved of everything, but the general manager, I should have known. Okay. Well, guess what? We're going, I'm the one that lost my job. I lost all the money. I lost all integrity in sports. I can't find another job because of this. But AJ Hinch is working again. The guys that actually were responsible, AJ Hinch is working. Alex Cora is working again. And I don't know when Beltran and all the players, they just walked.
Beltran. I don't.
Well, we'll see.
He might. Yeah. I mean, well, now that Cora and Hinch, like, why not?
That's enough.
Why not?
And those are the guys that did it.
Yeah.
Well, Hinch had direct knowledge of it. They were banging the trash can right next to his face.
He thought it was construction.
So, I mean, and if you didn't and you're taking the fall for this thing, I could certainly see this.
Yeah, the term is dark arts.
Dark arts.
Much like, I guess, Harry Potter. That was.
Is that it?
I don't know where that term came from, but I know it's in the Harry Potter stuff. I would feel a certain way. Hey, man. Everyone can work again but me? Everyone?
By the way, yeah. There's a couple of things you need to know about real world. Pfizer finished their big trial 90% success rate with their vaccine. It's causing right now the stock market to fire off like rocket ships.
Pfizer?
No, the whole market now.
Oh, yeah?
Everything. Stock price on United went from $36 to $43. Bang. Pfizer, now that there is a positive trial that looks like with 90% success rate, which is higher than expected, that thing is really you're going to see some numbers really shoot up. I don't know if any of this has to do with the
why is it
election.
100%?
I don't know. Some of this might have to do with the election. I don't know.
The other 10 turned into zombies.
What's the other 10, you know?
There's zombies.
The other 10% turn into zombies.
Yeah, I mean, but as long as you can take out those zombies,
yeah,
you're going to be fine.
I'm looking at the stock for certain companies, and everything's turning up, Mickey.
Mm.
Just rising up the charts, John.
With that bonus.
Mm-hmm.
With that bonus, that magic bonus.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Initially, when President-elect now, Biden was... not even confirmed because the states have to do that. But at least the media was like, that's the president-elect. Stock prices went up, and Monday you're seeing a rise too. So,
I think this one might have to do with Pfizer.
Probably.
To be honest with
you. Who knows?
Because every time there's been good news about every time there's been something that's been good news about a vaccine, it's just shot the... But the whole market is shooting up now. So, we'll see. But That's good news that we finally have a vaccine that is as opposed to Russia, who's like, everyone take this, everything fine. They didn't even do FSC checks. They're just like firing people full of stuff.
I feel great, very happy that Texans may trade for Brandon Cooks and gave a bunch of money to people. I'm very happy to be Texan.
Hey, Russia, what happened to all those people you gave, you know, the coronavirus vaccine? Oh, they fell out of a window and died. What?
Oh, yeah. No, the corona. No, those were all of our enemies. They somehow died.
Falling.
Wait, was that coronavirus vaccine, or was that more of your poison?
We don't know. Apparently, we need to do more research on this. Like,
got coronavirus did you and
find
fell out
a sneaky way to deliver more poison
exactly,
to people?
Exactly, John. They got coronavirus and fell out of a window.
Coronavirus make people fall out of a window.
Every enemy of the state falls out of a window.
It has been very difficult to deliver poison in the past. You guys aren't going to believe what we fell into. Coronavirus vaccine. Easiest way to get poison into people now. Oh, the government has chosen Mr. Putin, or His Honorable Putin, or whatever they call him. He has chosen you 8 people to get this brand new vaccine so you can be very healthy and happy.
You just happen to be political activists and media members.
What? Here, drink this. I thought we'd get shot. It's much more fast if you drink this.
Right into the bloodstream.
It flows evenly. Kind of like, no, never mind. I don't want to put them on that. 838 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to hang with us here on the show, you are more than welcome to do that. I want to talk some more. This was a good college. Oh, my God. Is Michigan? What about Penn State?
Oof.
Holy crap.
It was a good weekend for the Tagovailoa brothers, but not for Penn State.
Man, before yesterday's game, I was like, maybe the Dolphins took the wrong Tagovailoa.
Well, they had to wait on him for a couple years.
But that one is pretty good.
Yeah, and they were showing how now one's left-handed, the other's right. They throw, like, their hand grip off the offhand looks exactly the same when they're throwing. It's like this mangled thing they hold. They hold each, it's like, and then they throw it. Because Talia was to a center, and like when Tua was getting trained, Talia was right there with them watching everything, and he picked up on things, and he throws the ball a lot like his brother when it comes to where they place their hands. Penn State, oof.
Penn State.
They got run out of their own building.
That was horrible.
That is unbelievable.
Michigan, I mean, what's happening to the Big Ten. Michigan, Penn State, Wisconsin can't even play a game.
Well, how about this? Michigan State gets blown out by Rutgers, beats Michigan, and gets blown out again by Iowa.
Who was 0-2 at the time.
And wait a minute, and they beat Michigan? Michigan might be the worst. Michigan might be worse than Rutgers.
Yeah, the transitive property makes Michigan look really, really bad. Because you go through the Big Ten transitive property, and it makes no sense. Northwestern beats the hell out of Maryland. Maryland comes home and wins their game. And then they go to Penn State, who was allegedly the second-best team in the Big Ten, and just smack them around. It doesn't make any sense in the Big Ten.
Nothing.
We're just going to call it a COVID year and move. And
well,
keep it
and how about the start for the Pac-12 with USC winning on the last play?
You talk about Clay Helton's like, whew. He was 2 TDs down. They couldn't score in the red zone, fumbling away opportunities, and they scored. They got
an onside kick
to go down and win it. The first touchdown in the comeback was a deflection that landed in the other receiver's hand.
Yeah, well, they had a lot of things. I was watching that. They had a lot of things go their way. That was too bad. Marvin Lewis is a defensive coordinator. Like, they had Clovis on the ropes. He wasn't sure what he was doing. Marvin, their touchdown they had was on, now there was an offsides penalty, so he threw it up for grabs, and it was a deflection. But that was a 4th and 13 that they got their touchdown on. If they don't convert that 4th down, the game is definitely over. It was a miraculous comeback for
it was them. Unbelievable. And Keaton Slovis, he just doesn't look like a Keaton Slovis to me.
What does that mean?
I don't know. He just doesn't look like.
Well, Keaton Slovis sounds like it could be country. It could be somebody in West Virginia, like from the hills of. Keaton Slovis.
Yeah.
He's one of Slovis boys. Well, that didn't sound like you'd say a Slovis boy.
I guess.
Maybe from Indiana.
I don't know many I don't know many Keetons up there.
Keaton could be. Yeah, I see where you're going with this, John. Don't worry. We all do.
I just asked.
I'm just saying, I could see somebody talking about the Slovis boys out in like Wharton or, you know,
Slovis boys, yeah.
Yeah, the Slovis boys, they make beef jerky.
Right.
The Slovis boys
well, how about,
have they They have hunting dogs that they let run around their property.
Yep.
Like, yep. You ain't get. I'll tell you this much. I bet you won't say that's one of the Slovis boys.
They got rusty pickups. They got. Yeah, the Slovis boys. You got to watch.
Now, Slovis turn, boys have a really.
And the Slovis boys like to go together to the bar on Saturday night. And trust me,
tell you something.
You do not want to mess with Slovis.
The Slovis boys have a super hot sister. Yeah. But the Slovis boys sound a lot like Peaky Blinders, actually.
Slovis boys sound like don't f with
don't
the
mess
boys.
With the Slovis no. boys. Don't
the
come
Shelby's?
In.
Shelby's?
What?
They're the Shelby's?
That's they sound the like the Shelby's, are? Yes.
Yeah, but
they sound a lot like the Shelby's, only
I never thought the sister was all that hot.
No, that's what I was gonna say. I didn't think the sister was, but boy, I got to the little Russian heiress. Like, I tell you what, I give Peaky Blinders a lot of credit. A lot of shows like to come with some different, you know, nudity and sex scenes early to get you wrapped in, and then you're done. They're still delivering
they
in season
it.
Three.
They're still bringing
They're
it.
Still delivering
They're
in
still
season
bringing.
Three.
Yep. And how about the big, we haven't even, oh, let's talk about Texas A&M, number 5 in the country. Yeah. What about Texas's big win?
Yeah.
Against West Virginia. Up and down the field, nonstop high.
Texas is back, folks.
Right? I mean, talk Oof. About.
What an entertaining ball game.
That was, I mean, talk
just
about.
Couldn't, I mean, West Virginia couldn't even get out of their own way. They get down there. If they had just taken field goals, how often do we see that? If they had taken field goals instead of kept going for it on fourth downs, they would have just out field goaled Texas and got a win.
The theory or the analytics say you don't go for field goals because points are going to be, a lot of points are going to be scored. Not in that game.
Not in that nope. game. And even in the fine. Fourth quarter when they weren't taking field goals, you already knew there ain't going to be a lot of points in this one.
Nope.
Boy, and by the way, Overshown is looking way better at linebacker. Asai is really turning into a big problem.
Yep.
Man, he did it again
this
week.
No, but Overshown had his, I thought,
Overshown had his best game.
Yep. Yep, probably his best game. But, man, not Stern.
Caden Stearns.
Caden Stearns. What? Man, that's not really, really good.
DBU, what I was told.
That's not DBU. I'm getting tired of them saying DBU.
That's not DBU.
They got to stop saying DBU.
No,
about guys from 18 years ago.
I mean, like, we're referencing Quentin Jammer, but DBU.
Early, like that, Quentin Jammer was 2000.
DBU, Lance.
That's 20 years ago. They were DBU.
Yeah, they got to stop saying. What about
Ross.
Michael Griffin?
Aaron He's Ross. Out. What about Aaron Ross?
He's out. What about him? His wife was a track. She's fast.
Deshaun Elliott?
No, that's not DBU. Now, Holton Hill is playing. He's a starter. By the way, your guy, Xavien Rhodes.
Why do you keep calling him my guy? That's a Florida State guy.
That's the same thing.
No, he's Miami.
No, Xavien Rhodes is a Florida State
not
guy.
Not Xavien. Xavien Howard.
Xavien
Howard. Miami.
Yeah, four passes.
He gave those things to DeSean Hopkins. He had 0 catches for 0 yards through the first half.
Then Xavien Howard picked up 4 pass interference calls.
Well, that's what he does. Yeah. He did that in college at Baylor. It's kind of his thing. He likes to get pass interferences. What? You know? Some people like Coors Light. Some people like pass interferences. It depends on what you're thinking.
Well, some people like St. Arnold.
For me, I'm a St. Arnold guy. And their IPAs, they have a variety pack of IPAs that you can get now in your local grocery stores. Just imagine that, being able to try out a variety of different IPAs. And, yeah, you got a variety pack available in your local grocery store. It's Houston's very first craft brewery, and there's something really cool about St. Arnold. John and I, we did one of our very first remotes. I think it was our very first remote was at a St. Arnold, was at the location years and years ago. And that's how long they've been around. And I got to tell you, it's just their consistency is amazing. They've got the Christmas ale that's coming out now that you can pick up seasonally. It's always a big success. But if you want to try out any and all, if you want to try out flights of beers, if you want to go check out their ciders, which are fantastic, if you want to go have some delicious food, I think maybe the best pizzas in the whole city are at St. Arnold. It's something that they really put a lot of work into at their beer garden and restaurant. Great food, great beer, wide open patio space for this great weather, socially distanced and very safe. St. Arnold. Enjoy your St. Arnold at your local grocery store this holiday season. Pick some up or just head on out to the location and grab some beer and some food while you're there. St. Arnold.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You
listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
And, Dell, we haven't even mentioned Liberty. How about that?
Yeah. Hugh Freeze, the coach there, is setting himself up to be the message board darling for a lot of college football fans.
Yeah. I mean, that dude can cheat. I mean, he can.
What?
He can.
What'd
coach.
You say?
I say coach.
He'll be perfect for to be back in the SEC.
He's going
to
be perfect. Yeah. No, somebody will hire him. I mean, how about this? He's got Liberty beating Virginia. And that we talked about it. I liked him. How about Bear on the game, on College Game Day? He gives the point, Virginia Tech. He had another one that was just terrible.
I had Liberty plus the points. They were double-digit dogs. Has no one paid attention to what Liberty's doing to people?
Liberty
they're beating the brakes off people.
Well, the
they had a wide
was,
receiver that was, like, they are getting to, before Freeze even came in, they were getting talent
well,
there.
Well, their quarterback's the Auburn transfer. So, he was a guy who was certainly, at one point, thought to be a guy who could play in the SEC. Now he's doing it at Liberty.
He is, I'm telling you, that was, and he calls the timeout. They block the kick, return it for a touchdown, win the game. Oh, wait. No, they didn't.
Yeah, if you missed it, Justin Fuente, the Virginia Tech head coach, called the timeout to freeze the kicker. His team blocks it, runs it back. And then Liberty goes, wait a minute, this may be a little bit too far out. So with the time remaining, they throw a quick pass to get closer, and the kid gets out of bounds, and then they kick a field goal to win it.
Unbelievable.
So they're now.
How are you not guarding the sideline on that play too?
Because they just got out coached. They thought I don't know. I guess they thought a Hail Mary was coming. No, Liberty said, "No, we'll just take the yards, free yards given us. We'll kick a field goal." So I think they're now 8-0. They have a game against NC State, who gave Miami a challenge. So we'll see how that game goes for Liberty on the road. And then they have
Coastal. They did give Miami too big a challenge.
Well, the defense played poorly, but De'Aaron King was like, "Hello,
I got this.
I'm here. I'll just throw for 5 TDs and run for another 100 yards or 80 something or whatever he did." And then. Then they have Coastal Carolina.
Wow. That's a hell of a matchup now.
Yeah. Liberty, Coastal
Carolina. Liberty and Coastal Carolina. I like that better than the NC State. I'll tell you what. I've been taking Liberty against NC State. I don't know if I'm taking them against Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. That Coastal Carolina's a good football
team. They're a really good football team.
Yeah.
Let's get Kyle in here. Of course, his name's Kyle. He wants to talk Aggies. What do you say, Kyle?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, it's a long time since the UCP golf tournament's gone in Lance.
Oh, man.
I want to talk about my Aggies. Finally getting the win where we don't have to stress and worry about, you know, the game blow the brakes off people, 48-3, and enjoy a nice win in November. So, it was good.
Kyle, it's good hearing from you, man. How are things going?
What you been doing, man?
Good. Married, got a house. I'm 31. It's kind of crazy. Time has flown by.
31? I knew you when you were just a little kid. Are you kidding?
I know, right?
You're 31 already? Holy crap.
Yeah. 31.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy. But I watch y'all when I work in the morning on Twitch, and so I was like, I got a call after my Aggies went on and beat South Carolina and see, you know, we're just playing, taking a game at a time and playing well, getting better. We play Tennessee, and then we'll see what happens.
I'm telling you.
You know, Notre Dame has, hopefully they have a super spreader event and get a bunch of people. out for COVID, that would be great.
Hopefully they have a super. This isn't Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, the show prior to us. Hey, Kyle, thanks for calling in. We'll talk about the Ags, and then don't miss Jimbo tomorrow.
Yeah, Jimbo tomorrow morning right here at 7:15.
Every Tuesday, 7:15.
48-3, and then this is a team, and then Tennessee loses this week, right? Who'd they lose to?
Arkansas. They're up.
Arkansas
13-0, and Arkansas came back and won.
Arkansas is not a bad football team, and A&M took care of that business as well. I mean, this is a good A&M team now. This is exactly what Jimbo needed in his third year.
I believe so. Yeah,
yeah. This is exactly what Jimbo needed in his third year. Now you're gonna, you know, you got to think about replacing. Although Kellen Mond can come back next year, I don't know why Kellen Mond wouldn't come back next year.
Well, he's playing really, really well. I mean, TD interception ratio is like 16-2 right now for Kellen Mond. He might think, well, you know what? I don't know if I can get better than this. I might want to head out.
Right. Or he could make himself very valuable, much more valuable than he is now. Where is Kellen Mond in the grand landscape of quarterbacks being drafted, Lance?
oh, day three, like fifth, sixth, probably sixth. He's not consistently accurate enough, and his decision making is very, very average.
He's getting much
better. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he's a guy you bring into camp, and you know, like I said, he might be a late round pick, but
I think people are going to love the physical tools from Kellen Mond.
Yes, yes, mm-hmm. they will.
So, and if he like I said, the track right now, 16 TDs, two picks, over 61% completion percentage. They're not a dink and dunk offense either, so that percentage means more.
Yeah,
they throw the ball down the field.
He's played better.
Yeah, if he finished the back half of the season like he started, I wouldn't see him coming back.
He like Ellinger.
No, I think
their best days are these. Their best days are college football. I mean, they're going to be at best journeymen in the NFL.
Yeah,
backups.
They're, I think Kellen,
this is you know to, what magical time for
to
these
me.
Guys.
If you look at quarterbacks like Jake Luton, for example, was an arm talent guy at Oregon State. I liked him it wasn't a great quarterback year at the back end, but of all the guys late, like you try to find somebody late, he was the guy, and he was a sixth rounder, and he had better arm talent than Kellen. You know, just looking at this list, I mean, of what you've historically seen, Kellen is, there's Tanner Lee was a sixth, big arm. Danny Etlin was, I mean, he's probably a seventh. He's probably sixth, seventh in that neighborhood. Now, this is the interesting thing that people don't talk about much. There's going to be players who will consider coming back who coaches really, frankly, don't want back. It's just because they want to go young and groom the next guy. If you have Kellen Mond come back, it could, you know, potentially set. I mean, is there going to be a quarterback who says, I don't want to go, I want to play right away? You know, I guess that recruiting's already been done by A&M, but I could see Ellinger leaving and saying, I want to get on with my life. I can just live in Austin and be Sam Ellinger. I don't have to play. He'll get drafted day three also. He might be a back. Now, Kellen Mond and Sam Ellinger could both end up as like a third quarterback developmental type that maybe can work their way up. Maybe Sam can be like a Josh McCown, although I think McCown was better than is better than Sam Ellinger. But backup quarterbacks, that's not a bad job.
Oh, no. It's $3, $2, $3, $4, $5 million a year.
Yeah, it's not a bad job.
Look at the career Chase Daniel. We were talking about Chase Daniel yesterday. Look at the career that dude has had.
Lance, where did you have Josh Dobbs when he came out?
I thought he was like a fifth, but I expected him to go a little earlier. But
he got drafted in the
third.
Fourth. He got drafted in the fourth round.
Was it fourth?
Yeah.
So
yeah, he got drafted.
Are you
earlier
likening
than I thought.
Kellen to Josh Dobbs?
I'm trying to ask because Josh Dobbs had a start and stop career at Tennessee.
Josh is just a guy.
That's what I'm saying. So
got hot though during the draft process.
Well, yeah.
Well, the media at least he got hot with the media, but.
So,
he kind of did. Like I didn't expect him to be a fourth.
That's why I'm saying, because I know you're talking about Kellen because of what he's been. But if he puts
Kellen could get hot. He's tall.
Yes.
Can move. He can run. He's got a fairly lively arm. Kellen could get hot.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Because Josh Dobbs had a whatever career. He had a nice senior year, and Kellen's doing the same.
If Kellen plays the Senior Bowl and has a good Senior Bowl, and a lot of people don't have good Senior Bowls at quarterback. But, yeah, if Kellen is the type of guy who could get – yes, you're right, Dell. There, if you look a certain way from a size standpoint, if you have a certain arm, you now have mobility. Man, he's a 3-year starter. You start to talk yourself into reasons why you can do something more with Kellen Mond. Maybe you start to see a Kaepernick comparison, which I think there are. You know, body type wise, you can start seeing it and feeling it a little bit. I could see him getting a little high.
And Jimbo has a reputation, maybe not necessarily recently. Well, Jameis was a guy, but elevating guys you didn't think much of. Christian Ponder. No, I'm not saying Kellen Mond's a first rounder, but Christian Ponder was a first round pick under Jimbo. EJ Manuel was a first round pick under Jimbo, and that was based quite a bit off their final year.
Played some pro style.
Yeah, so I could see Kellen Mond if he left, particularly if he finishes the year like he's at now. He could leave and maybe be a fourth, fifth round pick.
I hated this guy, Kyle LaLetta, but he went in the fourth to the Giants. Giants sometimes struggle with quarterbacks, but James Morgan went in the fourth, inaccurate quarterback. You have Kyle LaLetta went in the fourth round, got a little hot. Mike White went in the fifth round.
Does Kellen Mond have better physical tools than Jake Fromm?
Yes.
And Jake yes. made it way into the forefront.
Yep. 858 ESPN 97.5. Lawrence, we'll get you on the other side. You want to talk about Jeff Luhnow? We'll do that. When we come back right now, though, we're talking about Chastang Ford. And Chastang, they call it Chastang at home. Chastang Ford at home. And where you can do everything, everything online right now at ChastangFord.com. You can value your trade-in, okay? You can customize your own payments. Hey, I got to be here. This is what I got to do. You can get pre-approval online. You can schedule the test drive, and they'll deliver the car to your home. It can't get any easier, people, if you are worried about everything going on out there with the germs and the COVID and the virus and everything else. Look, you are going to you got to be feel great about that. I can do everything from my house. Now, you say, well, what about the price? Well, the price is, I'm telling you, you're not going to find any better prices. And what they're not going to do also is they're not going to upsell you. And that's what dealerships do. And Chastang Ford just doesn't do that. If you want to, if you need this vehicle for a price and you want to get in on that, with me, it was the same way. I said, I got to be at this price. They worked that deal so hard to get me in the car that I wanted at the price that I said. And they'll do that for you as well. If you want to get there and you want to touch and feel the car and everything else that's going on, they got unbelievable deals going on, especially right now with the F-150s and the Expeditions. Get to Chastang Ford, which is on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead, or you can shop online, ChastangFord.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save